Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. We're continuing our series this morning, Calling and Career. And this morning, our message is titled, The Ministry of Business. The Ministry of Business. You know, I read a story about a young businessman who came to see his pastor, and he ashamedly confessed that he had not managed his business well, and he had made some poor decisions, and that his business was financially in terrible shape. He was unable to pay his employees. He was in debt. His debt was greater than his assets. And with tears, he pleaded, Pastor, please tell me what I should do. And so the pastor said, Son, what I recommend is that you go to the beach, take your chair, and take your Bible, sit down as close to the edge of the water as you possibly can, open the Bible in your lap, and as the breeze blows the pages of the Bible, just close your eyes and surrender your concerns to the Lord. When you feel the moment is right, place your finger on whatever page is open, and the words you find there will be God speaking to you and guiding you. The young man eagerly agreed to the pastor's counsel, and then the pastor didn't see him for a few weeks. But one Sunday morning, the young businessman came into church. He had a big smile on his face. He was wearing a new suit, and he had a bounce in his step. He pulled the pastor to the side and handed him an envelope and said, Here, Pastor, this is for the church. When the minister opened the envelope, he was surprised to find a check for $100,000. I'll be standing at the door at the end of the service. Overcome by curiosity, he asked, Son, does this check come from what I suggested you to do at the beach? The young man said, Oh, yes, it sure does. The pastor asked, Well, would you mind telling me what the words the Spirit gave you that you put your finger down on? The young man gave the biggest smile, and he said, My finger came right down on the words, chapter 11. It'll catch up with some of you in a moment. This is a humorous story. It makes us laugh. But of course, chapter 11 bankruptcy is no laughing matter. And it's certainly not God's desire for us. But God does have a very important message for us concerning business in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 bags of gold went out at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more, but the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man, expecting a return where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and I hid your gold in the ground. See? Here is what belongs to you. His master replied, You wicked, lazy servant. So you know that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have at least put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one with 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, as you know, Jesus often told stories to teach kingdom principles. And this is a story about a wealthy businessman who was going on an extended trip. And before he leaves, he makes arrangements. He arranges for the management of his business affairs during his absence. And he calls his servants. And he distributes to each of them a certain portion of his wealth to manage for him while he is gone. Folks, I want us to understand that there is a divine call to business and vocation, to business and career. God calls and equips people to business, certain businesses, and to certain careers. And we need to hear and understand that calling in our life. In verse 15, it says, to one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2, and to another 1. In some versions, the word used is talent rather than bags of gold. The word talent often makes us think of gifts or abilities, because that's how we use the word talent in our modern vocabulary. And certainly that is an appropriate application, because we should use anything that God has given us for his service and for the benefit of his kingdom. But the word talent in Greek refers to a certain measure or a certain weight, estimated to be between 60 to 80 pounds. And of course, they didn't use paper currency in Jesus's day. They used gold and silver. And the way that they determined the value of the gold and silver was by weighing it, by its weight. They determined how much its value was worth. So the word talent speaks of a weight of money, even as in verse 18, it refers to the master's money. So a talent, or 60 to 80 pounds of gold, is a huge sum of money. Scholars estimate that one talent was the equivalent of 20 years worth salary. 20 years of salary. So the person who received 2 talents received 40 years' salary. And the one who received 5 talents, that was 100 years' worth of salary. More than a lifetime of earnings. The Bureau of Labor Statistics says that the average annual wages for workers in the United States is approximately $40,000. So multiply that by 20. And you get $800,000 in today's economy. That would be the value of one talent in today's economy. The wealthy businessman gave each of his servants according to their ability. He knew what they were able to handle. He knew what they could be trusted with. And he gave them according to their ability. He went away on a trip. And when he returned, he called each of them to give an account of how they had used, how they had invested, how they had grown the money he had given them. Now we're talking about calling and career, and I want us to see this parable from a different perspective than most of us generally view it. The master, or wealthy businessman, of course in this parable represents Christ. It always does. And of course the servant represents us, believers who claim to be a part of his kingdom. The businessman's long journey represents Christ's departure and the fact that he will one day return and call us, call his followers to account for how we have used what he has entrusted to us. The parable deals with how we live and conduct business on God's behalf while we await his return. Seeing God as a businessman is important for us, because 90% of the working population of the United States are employed in for-profit companies. 90% are employed in for-profit companies. And God has called each of us, his followers, to be engaged in the business world or the marketplace for his kingdom. For his kingdom. Very small percentage of people will ever be employed inside of churches or will gain their income from some missions or evangelistic organization. 90% will gain their income from working in a for-profit company. So do we say that all of that time is just for working to earn a living and for working to advance the company for whom we are employed? No. God has us there for his kingdom purposes. And there are several principles that this parable teaches us. The first is, of course, that God endows each of us with resources. Look again at verses 14 and 15. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Folks, the first thing we need to realize is that everything that we have comes from God. It says that he entrusted his wealth to them. Now I want you to notice he didn't transfer ownership. It was still his wealth. It still belonged to him. He just trusted it to them to manage it for him in his absence. So they were managers, not owners. What you have is not yours to use as you please. Awful quiet in here. You know, this is not a point that we often get a hallelujah, glory to God, jump up and down. But it's still Bible. Amen. It's still Bible. Just as much as the scriptures we love to quote, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. If I said that, we'd all be jumping up and down. If I was preaching on, if you give, you shall receive, your cup shall be running over and pressed down, shaken together, we'd be jumping up and down and shouting. But folks, this is just as much Bible as that is. And it's telling us that whatever we have is not ours to use as we please. God has entrusted it to us. We are managers, not owners. And the word servant in Greek that is used here is the word doulos, and it means slaves. Folks, have you ever realized that slaves do not own anything? They work for the profit of their master, and they work at the will of their master. So the point is that everything that we have comes from God and belongs to God, and he still owns it all, even though it may be in our hand for a moment. And understanding that basic truth affects the way that we approach all of life. See, if we really believe this, then we will view everything in our life as God's. For instance, if we really believe this, then we will view our time as God's time. Because, folks, we would not have 1 second of life if it were not for God. So how does that affect the way that we live? People sometimes say to me, Pastor, you know, because I'll say, hey, I missed you, haven't seen you in church. But Pastor, I haven't been in church because I've just been so busy. I haven't had time. And I cringe inside. Because they don't realize that they would not have even one moment of time if it were not for God. Not even 1 second of time if it were not for God. And yet they can't make any time for God. He's giving them all the time they have, and they can't make any time for God. It's awful quiet in here. This is where we say amen, or we can say oh me. Hallelujah. If we really believe that everything that we have belongs to God, we would view our money as his money. And we would never say, I can't afford to tithe, because the Bible says the tithe belongs to God. You see? Do we really believe what the scripture says? If we really believe that our talents, that our abilities, that our gifts are from God, then we would use them not just in the world to make a living for God, but we would also use them in his kingdom to serve his purpose. You see, we use all of these gifts and talents that God has given us, and we use them in the world at our job, skills and abilities. But when it comes to the house of God, how are we using them for his kingdom? How are we using them for his kingdom? do we really believe what the scripture says, that everything we have comes from God and belongs to God? And everything we have has been entrusted to us. The word entrust has two meanings. It means to put something in the care of another. You are depositing something with them and trusting them to take care of it in your stead. Folks, you put money in the bank. You are entrusting it to the bank. You expect that when you come back to get it, it'll be there because it's yours, not theirs. Hallelujah. Amen. And you are expecting that when you come back to get it, it should have earned some interest, even though interest is very low right now. But you expect that it should have increased some, and that they're going to give you back your money plus some. Do you not expect that? Because it's not their money. Now, while it's on deposit with them, they use it. They use it to make loans and what have you. They use it. But when you come back for it, it better well be there, and they better give it back to you. Amen. This is what God has done with us. He has entrusted us with certain things. And when he comes back, he expects that we will give that back to him plus some. Hallelujah. The second meaning of the word entrust is to assign a responsibility. God has given us the responsibility of using what he has entrusted us to bring a profit for his kingdom. For his kingdom. Now, this is a huge responsibility. The amount of money in the parable that was entrusted to each servant was a huge sum. At a very minimum, the person who had received one talent received 20 years worth of salary. 20 years worth of salary. And you may be thinking to yourself, well, that leaves me out because I don't earn all that much. Again, if you consider the average salary, according to the U.S. Labor Bureau, of $40,000 a year, if a person works from age 18 to 65, as most do, that would be approximately $1.9 million, almost. It would be $1.88 million. That's a lot of money. Every one of you is a millionaire and you didn't know it. A lot of money. God has given us a huge responsibility to manage that sum of money and maximize it for his kingdom. Now notice the amount trusted to each person was different according to their ability. Some people earn more, some people earn less. And the wealthy businessman distributed his wealth according to each servant's ability. God knows what each one of us is capable of. God knows what each one of us can handle. God knows what each one of us can be trusted with. Now, I want you to notice something. He doesn't use us or judge us in comparison to someone else, but in proportion to the ability that he knows that we have. He didn't expect the man with one talent to bring back 10 talents, but he did expect him to bring back something, something. Wherever we are in life and whatever we have been given, there is no excuse to be unprofitable. There is no excuse to be unprofitable. Whatever we have, whatever opportunities have been afforded us, God holds us responsible to maximize them for his benefit, for his profit. And something I want us to understand today is, you know, some people will sit around and they'll mope, well, I didn't have the opportunities that so-and-so had. Folks, opportunity is 90% hard work and 10% circumstance. When you're a hard worker, you make opportunities for yourself. Come on now. A lot of people sit around there waiting for the heavens to open an opportunity to drop down in front of them. It doesn't work that way. When you're a hard worker, you make opportunities for yourself. God expects us to be profitable for his kingdom. He has entrusted us with a responsibility of managing well the wealth he has placed in our hands, the opportunities he has placed before us, the life He has given to us the skills and abilities that he has vested in us. He has entrusted all of that to us with a task, with a responsibility of advancing his kingdom. Secondly, God encourages entrepreneurship. An entrepreneur is someone who steps out and they make new opportunities. An entrepreneur is someone who steps out and begins businesses that weren't there before, that invents things. They're always on the cusp of new. Verses 16 and 17, the man who had received 5 bags of gold went out at once. Notice he didn't sit around twiddling his thumbs and waiting and saying, well, if an opportunity opens before me. He went out at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. Now, of course, we know that Jesus commended these servants saying, well done. Good and faithful servant, you have been faithful over a little, and now you will be made ruler over much. Jesus was encouraging entrepreneurship. I want us to realize an entrepreneur is not satisfied with what is. They're not satisfied with just maintaining. A sum of money was entrusted to each servant, but they were not told exactly what to do with it. God gives us freedom, folks. God gives us freedom to use our creativity, to use our gifts, to use our talents. It is according to our ability. God gives us freedom. The man who had been given 5 bags of gold and the one who had been given 2 bags of gold, each launched out on a business endeavor that doubled the money given them. Now, this is not something, folks, that happened overnight. It's not that they went out and bought 1 million lottery tickets. Hello, we as Christians do not gamble because we're not trusting luck. We're trusting God. Amen. And we are wise managers of God's money. And when you gamble, the odds are millions against you. So you are most likely throwing your money away. Hallelujah. There's a lot more reasons why we don't gamble based on the Bible, but this is not a sermon on that. But I'm just saying, they didn't double their money overnight. The master was gone for a long time, and then he returned. So it took ambition on their part. It took faithfulness. It took dedication. It took hard work. It took perseverance on their part. And along the way, they probably had some failures. They probably had some setbacks because, folks, the only time you don't fail is when you don't do anything. When you're stepping out on the cusp of the new, you're going to have failures. You're going to have setbacks, but you don't stay down. You get up and you keep moving forward. Do you know before Thomas Edison invented the light bulb, he failed over 1,000 times. But he kept on trying. You see, the only person that doesn't fail is the person who doesn't do anything. They just sit around, they're satisfied with the way things are. But when you're stepping out and you're trying to do new things and you're trying to advance, there's going to be times of failure. And I'm sure that they encountered that as well. But folks, they refused to give up. They refused to settle, and they pressed forward to success. An entrepreneur embraces challenges. An entrepreneur maximizes their purpose, their potential, and capitalizes on their opportunities. Every crack in a door becomes an opportunity to push that door wide open and advance. An entrepreneur is not satisfied with the status quo. There was one man in the story that was satisfied with the status quo. He had one talent. He was satisfied with one talent. He dug a hole. He buried the one talent in the ground. And when the master came back and called him to account, his boss was not happy. Not happy with him. Said, you should have at least put it in the bank and gotten me some interest. We also see an entrepreneur is willing to take risks. The problem with the man with one talent is he refused to take a risk. He was afraid to lose the little that he had, so he made no profit for the master, and in the end, even what he had was taken from him. Folks, we can't allow fear to rule our lives. We need to step out in faith, and we need to step up to advance in life. Start the business that you've been dreaming of. Go after the career that has been in your heart. Go after the promotion that has been stirring with your soul. Don't settle for where you are. Step out and step up. Hallelujah. This is what God expects of us. And finally, God expects us to prosper. God expects us to prosper because He is our business partner. Folks, He is invested in us. And if we will partner with Him, walking in faith, working with excellence, and doing all things with integrity, God will bless us and God will cause us to prosper. Hallelujah. No matter where Joseph was, whether he was a slave in Potiphar's house or he was a prisoner, because everything he did with excellence. He did it for the glory of God, and he was a man of integrity. God prospered him so that he even went from being a prisoner to be prime minister of Egypt. Hallelujah. If you'll honor God in the way you go about your life, God will honor you and God will bless you. Hallelujah. Any of you ever heard the name David Green? It was in the news quite a bit over the last few years because their company had to go to the Supreme Court against the laws of the Obamacare that was forcing employers to pay for things like abortion and what have you. And David Green is a strong Christian man, and he actually goes above and beyond in the way that he treats his employees. He pays them well above minimum wage. He gives them Sundays off. They're closed on Sundays, gives them Sundays off. Everything about the way he does his business, he conducts it in a Christian manner. And it was against his conscience to have to pay for insurance that would provide for abortions. And so they actually sued and went all the way up to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court ruled in their favor because they saw that everything about their business was conducted in a Christian manner. David Green is the CEO of Hobby Lobby. Ever heard about Hobby Lobby? He was a pastor's son. He started his first store with $600 that he borrowed in 1972. He didn't even have the money in his bank account to start it, but he borrowed $600. And he used that money to buy a frame chopper. And on the family's kitchen table, he made picture frames with his wife and sons doing most of the gluing. Today, Hobby Lobby is a multi-billion dollar corporation. He said, "We believe wholeheartedly that it is by God's grace and provision that Hobby Lobby has been successful." As I said, he closes his stores on Sunday so his people can worship. He operates his business based upon biblical principles, and God has blessed him incredibly. We're going to hear a little bit more about him in a moment. God is a good businessman who expects a return on his investment in us. He wants to see our business. He wants to see wants us to see our business. He wants us to see our career as a part of his mission in the world. He wants us to advance his kingdom by running our business or doing our job according to biblical principles so that it can be an example and a light to the lost. I'm telling you, when Hobby Lobby was in the news for those months that they were in the Supreme Court, there was so much testimony for Christ being lifted up about the way that he treats his employees, about how he pays above minimum wage. All of these things were a testimony and a light for Christ that were being lifted up in national media. In a recent interview, David Green, the CEO of Hobby Lobby, shared his commitment to serving the Lord by serving his customers and employees, and his dedication to running a company that continually demonstrates the integrity of biblical principles in everything that his company says and does. And folks, I'm telling you, when they tried to scrutinize his company to find some reason why he should not be, they could not find anything wrong. because of the integrity with which he conducts business. And he does it to be a light and a testimony. God wants us to be evangelistic. And God wants us to succeed so that we can finance his kingdom work. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, "It is he who gives you power to gain wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore by you to your fathers as it is this day." Folks, what is he telling us? God gives us the ability to earn. God gives us the ability to gain wealth. Why? So that he can establish his covenant in all the earth. So that the wealth that he has allowed us to gain can be used to further his purpose, to further his gospel throughout the world. Folks, it costs money to do kingdom business. I wish it didn't, but it does. Even here at this church, just to have a sanctuary and a place to meet, $16,000 a month. Electric bills, $5,000 a month. Everything you do costs money. To make those bulletins, we have to have a copy machine. We have to have a service contract. All those things cost thousands of dollars. Yep. Right. To have the equipment that we have on the sanctuary so that we can enjoy worship, thousands of dollars. Costs money to do kingdom work here at home and with our missionaries abroad. David Green, the CEO of Hobby Lobby, recognizes that his success has come from God. He is Assembly of God, and every year he generously donates to his local church and gives millions to missions each year. Millions to missions each year. Is it any wonder that God is blessing him?
Amen.
Because when God can trust you with 600,
amen,
and you're faithful to God with 600, and then God can trust you with a billion, and you're faithful to God and you use it for God's glory, then God can trust you with billions.
Amen. Amen. That's right. That's right.
Just like the businessman in the parable knew,
wow,
that he could trust some servants with 5 bags of gold and some servants with only 1 bag. God knew that he could trust David Green with many bags of gold, with billions. And that's why God continues to prosper him. How much can he trust us with? How much can he trust us with? If we had $600, David Green started with $600. If we had $600, what would we do with it? Would we rush out and go buy, you know, a flat screen TV? Would we go out and buy the latest iPhone? Or would we pray and say, God, how can I use this in order to profit you? Give me an idea. Give me some creativity. Give me some understanding how I can use this to advance so that I can advance your kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God has a calling for you. Folks, just as much as God has called me to be a pastor, God has called you to a career. God has called you to a profession. God has called you to be a business person. God has called every one of us to use what he has entrusted us. And he has called you to use what he has entrusted you in the business arena, in the marketplace, to advance his kingdom. He's calling you. He wants to use you in the marketplace to establish his kingdom, to be a light, to advance his kingdom financially. He wants to use you. He is the most creative person there is in the world. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth.
Amen.
Folks, when we tap into his creativity, there is no end to the ideas that God can give us in order to advance his kingdom in the marketplace, in the business field. What are we doing with what God has given us to advance his mission and purpose through our profession, through our career, through business? What are we doing to advance his kingdom and his purpose? Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you right now. Father, I thank you that your work and your activity is not confined to the four walls of the church. But Lord, you desire to work and to be active in our lives outside of these walls. When we go to work, Lord God, when we go to our business, Lord God. Father, even now you are stirring within the hearts of your people creative ideas, Lord God, of things that you want them to step out in faith to do, Lord God. Father, you are encouraging that entrepreneurial spirit within hearts, Lord God, that we would not be settled with the status quo, Lord God, but Father, that we would step out on the cusp of the new, of the inventive, Lord God, on new opportunities, Lord God, on new ambitions, Lord God, and ideas. Father, I pray that we would rise up, Lord God, and take that which you have entrusted us with, Lord God, and that we would immediately, without hesitation, without reluctance, go out and put it to work, Lord God. Put it to work for your kingdom, so that when you come to call us to account, we bring back to you not just what you have given us, but we bring back to you an account that we have advanced your kingdom in this world, Lord God. Father, I pray that you would shape this in each one of our hearts today. In Jesus' name.